Now, with a pattern I have detected is that Beth's Baylor brood seems to be taking over this conference. Next, we have Trenton Wood, who is with the Winstead firm in Dallas. Right, Trenton? Dallas? Yeah. Who works in the corporate and M&A area and is involved in many transactions. And again, is going to be addressing some things that just might surprise you in the statute if you don't address them.
Well, good morning. First of all, I want to address, I hope it's okay if I sit. I made the mistake over the holidays of playing pickleball with my kids, and I thought I was still young enough to do that full force. So if I try to stand for even 30 minutes, I may have a problem. So thank you for accommodating that. Second of all, I just wanted to say, you know, I think you'll see as we talk about statutory defaults, there's a few places where we have some overlap with the prior presentation, which was great. So what I will try to do as we go through is make sure that I'm kind of focusing my comments on some different aspects of some of those issues where things do overlap. So, first of all, let me move this right here. I want to briefly touch on withdrawal. Expulsion gets into this. I know the previous presenters touched on this in quite great detail and did a great job on it. So, certainly don't want to repeat it. But again, this idea that I'm trying to touch on are some things of, if we don't address it in our company agreement, if we don't address it in our limited partnership agreement, what does the law say is just the default provision, and therefore where silence may produce a very different result than what we had hoped for. So, again, as we talked about before, the default being for the LLC that the member may not withdraw. Tell you what, for this slide, I'm just going to go ahead and put up kind of the whole thing and run through it a little bit faster just because of, again, how well it was covered in the previous presentation. But this idea that the default is that withdrawal and expulsion is not permitted, the one exception being in the limited partnership context where a general partner may withdraw, but again, the limited partnership agreement there is free to specify kind of under what circumstances they can and what the consequences are for that withdrawal. So the withdrawal of a general partner, while permitted, could be defined as a breach of the limited partnership agreement with various ramifications of that to the general partner. The other wrinkle there on limited partnerships is that in the limited partnership context, when the general partner withdraws, the default is that the limited partners, by a majority and interest vote, can decide whether that general partner's interest is either paid out, so the value of that interest is paid off, less any damages incurred by the limited partnership by that withdrawal, or the general partnership interest can be converted to a limited partnership and therefore kind of be in the bucket with the rest of the limited partners. So, again, one small wrinkle there. I think, again, what I would just kind of build on the prior presentation to say is even when this is in there, in addition to defining kind of what constitutes grounds for expulsion, and again, that was covered very well, but even for withdrawal to determine is the appropriate, I say remedy, but tool to put in the agreement that withdrawal is allowed or should it be limited to certain circumstances as well? So again, it's not just a matter of necessarily flipping the default, but deciding if, based on your client situation, if something more nuanced is appropriate. Within that too, I think it's always important to hit on kind of the procedure in that as well. One of the things I see in a lot of the agreements is where withdrawal or expulsion can become a kind of a weapon. Somebody hangs around until a capital contribution is about due, and then they decide they're going to withdraw, or an expulsion event happens and somebody keeps that in the pocket, but then maybe there's a sale of the business on the horizon and they kind of want more for themselves, so they suddenly decide to expel that member. So again, the question there is, do we need something more focused where if there are grounds for withdrawal or there are grounds for expulsion, does there need to be timelines on when those need to be exercised, otherwise they expire. So it's not just kind of a perpetual right hanging out there that ultimately doesn't allow for efficient management.